Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, I was talking about the account in John 13, 4, and 5 of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Let's continue with that today. First of all, I'm going to read that account that you just shared with us from the Word of God, starting in John chapter 13 and verse 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. Now, the disciples should know that he was doing something different. The master? Our rabbi? The one they had confessed? Thou art the Son of God? Giving him equal deity with God, making himself equal with God? They would see him get up and do this. So probably they are stunned. Verse 5, after that, he poureth water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then comes he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Well, sir, let me interrupt at this part of the answer to your question. They would know hereafter. Did they not just see Jesus humbled himself greatly to do this, to do the job that was usually that of the lowest servant? The word doulos is the word in that day in the Greek that represented the lowest servant. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul called himself a doulos Christ. And so he was doing this work that they knew that would probably be assigned to the lowest servant. And so we're not told how they sat there, but I'm sure that their eyes are fixed on him the entire time. Now, as we read verse 8, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, sir, this does not mean that Jesus was going to take Peter's salvation away from him. Rather, when he had promised that they would sit on 12 thrones, he would be losing his reward. Christians do not lose their salvation, but they can lose their reward. We don't keep our salvation. It's kept by Jesus Christ. Read the book of Jude. Now, verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Can you see that that struck fear in Peter's heart, because he believed what God had said in Christ Jesus about ruling and reigning with him and sitting on a throne with him. So he says, wash me thoroughly. Perhaps you thought of back in Psalms chapter 51 in David, when he repented of a sin with Bathsheba. I think this is even a better analogy. When he said, wash me thoroughly, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Oh, my goodness, he wanted to be cleansed. old King David before he sinned with Bathsheba. And so I can imagine that might have hit Peter's mind. Wash me. I'm completely cleansed. But notice what Jesus says next. Jesus said to him, verse 10, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye're clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye're not all clean." Now, my brother, you can see here, when he says, "Ye are not all clean," we're immediately told that he knew who would betray him. In other words, it's in all their minds, why is he doing this to us? And so they're looking, and the question, the things that Peter said to him, and Jesus' answer, they're hanging on every word. Well, they were all clean, but they still need to have their feet washed. You say, well, why was that? Because we are looking at symbolism here. Christ is preaching in symbolic term to them. He's preaching to them using, you might say, a physical illustration to teach them a spiritual lesson. We are saved. You're cleansed from your blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, we find in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul was saved. What a great salvation. And yet, when he was penning the words of Romans in chapter 7, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am. The good that I do, I don't. And the bad that I wouldn't do, I end up doing." So Christians have a daily battle. That's representative of their walk with God. So daily, they need their feet washed. Now, this is building up to something, so hold on with me here, folks, as I just now interrupted that answer. Okay, now, so we see there that he knows, and he's talking about Judas Iscariot, who would betray him, because he knew who would wash him. So Judas really has never been cleansed. So in verse 12, "So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and was set down, again he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, would you say, sir, that the answer that Jesus gave to begin with, after Peter says, "Not my feet only, but my hands and my head," and then Jesus saying, "You need not to wash everything, just the feet. Okay, you're every bit wet, you're clean." So, sir, if that is what Jesus said, we can imagine that having walked there, other things they did in that day, that Peter's head would not be absolutely clean. Maybe his body would not smell good. So his entire body would need clean if this was just about cleaning the body. But Jesus said that they were every whit clean. In other words, he's talking about the spiritual cleansing. So what is this about feet? Well, first of all, it is, sir, it is about our daily walk in this life. Now, are we doing this Lord's Supper to show that we are humble? Or is there something else to be seen in the symbolism of the Lord's Supper? And I think that's what we need to see. So let's go now. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And beginning in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Sir, we know that the Pharisees knew that if any man made himself equal with God and he was not God, that was blasphemy, should be put to death. Well, when Jesus said that he was the Son of God, he would sit on the right hand of the Father in heaven, they figured that he had committed blasphemy because they would not receive that he is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. So in verse 7, but made himself, even though he's equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What do we see Jesus doing there? Well, first, he was God in heaven. He was the Son of God in spirit. God is a spirit. They who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. When we read in Ezekiel chapter 1, and we see one sitting on a throne, whose loins, his feet, and so forth are as fire, and this great throne that he sits on, and so many symbols there, and whatever he says, the angels, the teraphims are ready to do. But in the picture there, what we're seeing is a Christophany, that is an Old Testament appearance of Christ, but not in his humanity, in his deity. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Whatever the Word is, whoever the Word is, he's God. Well, verse 14, same chapter, John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So again, this was God come in the flesh. So just to make himself a human was to humble himself so very greatly. Now, when we are resurrected, Romans 8:23 lets us know that that's what we're waiting for, the adoption, to wit, the resurrection of our bodies, which we find that our bodies will change and fashioned like unto his glorious body. You know what that tells us about Jesus, who was a spirit until he came 2,000 years ago to Bethlehem? Sir, that tells us that Jesus is going to have a human body throughout all eternity. And we are going to have a body that's fashioned like unto his glorious body.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.